From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he continues this series of studies in the law of God, Dr. Cairns is preaching a message entitled Love for God, in showing that love for God and for men is what gives power to Christianity. Dr. Cairns has been explaining the ingredients of that love. To love God, we must know Him through His Word. That knowledge will lead us to delight in Him, to desire Him, and to develop a confiding trust in Him. The exercise of our love for God is to involve all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In just a few minutes, we'll see how each of these is manifested as Dr. Cairns continues with love for God. Before he comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord. The life of faith is represented as receiving, an act which implies the very opposite of anything like merit. It is simply the acceptance of a gift. As the earth drinks in the rain, as the sea receives the streams, as night accepts light from the stars, so we, giving nothing, partake freely of the grace of God. The saints are not, by nature, wells or streams. They are but cisterns into which the living water flows. They are empty vessels into which God pours His salvation. The idea of receiving implies a sense of realization, making the matter a reality. One cannot very well receive a shadow. We receive that which is substantial. So is it in the life of faith. Christ becomes real to us. While we are without faith, Jesus is a mere name to us, a person who lived long while ago, so long ago that His life is only a history to us now. By an act of faith, Jesus becomes a real person in the consciousness of our heart. But receiving also means grasping or getting possession of. The thing which I receive becomes my own. I appropriate to myself that which is given. When I receive Jesus, He becomes my Savior, so mine that neither life nor death shall be able to rob me of Him. All this is to receive Christ, to take Him as God's free gift, to realize Him in my heart, and to appropriate Him as mine. Salvation may be described as the blind receiving sight, the deaf receiving hearing, the dead receiving life. But we have not only received these blessings. We have received Christ Jesus Himself. It is true that He gave us life from the dead. He gave us pardon of sin. He gave us imputed righteousness. These are all precious things. But we are not content with them. We have received Christ Himself. The Son of God has been poured into us, and we have received Him and appropriated Him. What a heartful Jesus must be! For heaven itself cannot contain Him.
Take it up to His word, His word, Christ our
As you listen to today's broadcast, we'd like to express our appreciation to those of you who make Let the Bible Speak a regular part of your day. Over the years since LTBS has been on the air, we've heard from many folk who have been blessed and encouraged in their Christian lives through these programs. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to bring this Christ-centered preaching and God-honoring sacred music into your home, vehicle, or workplace. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. Founded by Dr. Alan Cairns, whose messages you hear on the broadcast, LTBS is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, which is produced in Northern Ireland. It may be that you have wondered about the origin and purpose of the Free Presbyterian Church. Stated briefly, the Free Presbyterian Church is a denomination that stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers around the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, please contact Faith Free Presbyterian Church at their toll-free number 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. Or you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Someone from the church will be glad to get in touch with you and to provide you with further details. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, www.fpcna.org. Again, that's www.fpcna.org.
The third element is to desire Him. Desiring Him. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? The 73rd Psalm asks. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside Thee. Here again is the mark of a Christian. Let me put it in one simple but very far-reaching sentence. And here I'm glad to be paraphrasing Thomas Boston. The soul that loves the Lord sees in Him all that satisfies, and apart from Him, it sees nothing that is necessary to its good and its happiness. The soul that truly loves the Lord sees in Him all that satisfies. We were singing that great old gospel hymn tonight. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and everlasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in Thee. The mark of love for God is to desire Him. Those who live their lives without any real desire after God are living their lives without Him. Then there is a fourth element, and that is what I will call confiding trust. John said in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Paul said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. How do you know you love God? Because you trust Him. You trust Him. Even in human relationships, true love is a trusting thing. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 13 about love. It believeth all things. The soul that truly loves the Lord will confidently trust in Him. The elements in love for God. Quickly then, a word about the exercise of love for God. Now, the Lord Jesus, in their Bible reading tonight, is quoted as saying, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's really quoting from Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Not an exact word-for-word quotation, but if you take Deuteronomy and then Matthew, and you'll look at parallel passages in Mark 12 and 30 and Luke 10 and 27, you'll find that there are actually four words that are used. We're to love God with all our heart. That always comes first in all the lists. With all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Now, there is a way in which those words really are all saying the same thing. There is a way in which the Lord is simply piling word upon word to say, love God with everything that's in your being. That's true. And yet, I can't help but think that He didn't choose these words for no particular reason. Love God with all your heart. We must love the Lord affectionately. There is a genuine affection. I know that many people, this seems to be more and more true of the intellectual among God's people, So I have to warn quite a few of you who are obviously in the intellectual segment of society to distrust emotion in religion. You can get to the place where you look down on those emotional people. Now, there is an emotion that's all wrong. The charismatic hype that simply works upon people's emotions, that uses the techniques of the world in order that emotions may be wrought within these people, that then they may be manipulable. That is all wrong. But was there not deep emotion in Isaiah when he saw the glory of God in his train filling the temple? Was there not deep emotion when he cried, "I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips"? Was there not deep emotion in the heart of the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 1 when he saw on the Isle of Patmos that vision of the glorified Christ and he fell at his feet as one dead? Was there not deep emotion in the heart of our Savior in Gethsemane's garden when his very sweat was like blood? I tell you, there must be an emotion that is deep and real, that is wrought out of the very depths of our being because of the greatness and the grandeur and the glory of the vision of our God. Only people who see little or nothing of the beauty of Jesus can be people without emotion in their religion. Give us a sight of Christ and we'll weep like children. Give us a sight of the glory of God and the sepulchral grandeur that we think so great that we can sit in church unmoved. It will melt like snow before the rays of the sun, and our hearts will be broken before God. I tell you, we need to learn to love affectionately. I quote the bride in Solomon's song again in the 5th chapter. My beloved put his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. My heart was moved for him. I wonder, do you know anything of loving God with that kind of affection? That with your whole being, it's as if your inwards were being dragged out of you in a yearning for God. Not just for his blessings, not just for his gifts, but for God himself. My bowels were moved for him. My beloved, says the bride, is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Yea, he is altogether lovely. God give us an affectionate love. But then we must love the Lord with all our soul. We must love the Lord spiritually. This love is no mere fuzzy feeling. When I say we must love the Lord spiritually, I'm saying this love is a powerful inclination of the will, and it is a firm dedication of all our faculties to promote the glory of God. That is spiritual love. And then we must love the Lord with all our mind. We must love the Lord reasonably. As I've indicated, love for God often will produce a deep ecstasy of soul. But listen now, it will never suspend the function. functions of the mind. How often we hear charismatics and Pentecostalists telling people to let their mind go blank. Anytime anybody tells you to let your mind go blank, you know you're not dealing with a messenger of God, but a messenger of Satan. Let your mind go blank. Just let the feelings arise. Let the feelings take over. Don't think. The very opposite to what the Word of God actually says. Those who are carried away in unthinking swoons may claim deep emotion, but it's not biblical love. Listen, those who love the Lord think of Him. What is the great crime of the wicked? Psalm 10 and 4 says, God is not in all His thoughts. God's people think of Him. They love to remember His grace and His power. Peter told the young Christians to whom he wrote in 2 Peter 1:13, I think it meet to stir you up. There's the emotion. I think it meet to stir you up. How? By putting you in remembrance. God's people remember. They love to remember. For example, do we not love to remember Calvary? Is that not why we meet around the table of the Lord? This do in remembrance of me. Do we not in prayer and in praise day by day seek to make our way to the cross, that remembering Christ our souls may be satisfied? We love to remember our conversion. Can we ever forget the grace of God extended to us? He took me from a fearful pit and from the miry clay, and on a rock He set my feet, establishing my way. We remember our conversion. We remember past blessings. The psalmist said in the 116th Psalm, as he considered this very thing, that he would love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. Bless God for every blessing that's passed. We love to think, we love to remember. But most of all, I say most of all because this is most important of all, not because it is most observed of all, for unfortunately it's not. God's people love to reason through the implications of the gospel. Dr. Barrett this morning commenced the morning service by reading from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Then all died. If one died for all for whom he died, died in him. That's what he's saying. Now, Paul is saying, we judge, we discern, we deduce, we logically think through the implications of the gospel. Can I say to you, my friend, that that's how to love God reasonably? And I'll give you this hint as a Christian. The more deeply you pursue the implications of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the more deeply you will know your Savior, and the more deeply you will love your God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.